You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Welcome to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. Again, you have tuned in to our Point Counterpoint program, and today is our anniversary show, our one-year anniversary. I don't have the applause on, so Kathleen, don't get mad at me. I don't have the applause on right now, but today is our one-year anniversary show. But I decided we're not going to do anything particularly special, but give you, you know, just a couple of snips from some past shows so you can see what Black on Black Crime is all about. Now, if this is your first time here, welcome again. And just know that Black on Black Crime is a point counterpoint program. It is on this program, a Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. Now, today's show, Russell Simmons versus the Harriet Tubman skit. Okay, that is the first one. And director Lee Daniels versus black women. He said some things that we probably need to talk about. And the director of the James Brown biopic the producers from the James Brown biopic changed directors. We want to talk about that. And Black on Black Crime anniversary clips from past shows. We're going to talk about some people or organizations that committed black-on-black crime, but we have one from the Griot. We're talking about Nina Simone and author Clinton Galloway, who came on. So that should be pretty interesting. But we'll play them as breaks in the show, opposed to playing, you know, regular commercials. And we have the World of Entertainment, just in case you didn't know. We do entertainment news as well. But if you missed last week's show, our last show was, you can catch it in the archives at www.soulofsyracuse.com/EspritRadio/BOBC. That's www.soulofsyracuse.com/EspritRadio.BOBC. Last week's show, we talked about CNN's Don Lemon versus Russell Simmons, and then he turned around and kind of our topic of this show. We also had heartbeat props, is when we pay respect to someone who is living and doing good work, and that was out for KRS-One when he talked about the 40 years of hip-hop. A columnist from Fox Sports made a bad comparison for Rosa Parks and the Heisman Trophy winner. We had Uncle Ruckus Watch, again, featured Lee Daniels, who now is in his own, you know, committed another black-on-black crime while we're at it. But that was last week's show. If you want to check that out, just go check it out in the archives, soulofsyracuse.com/EspritRadio/BOBC. And also, remember, we're on Facebook. So if you want to check us out on Facebook, it's BOBC Show at Facebook.com. So you can check out our page there. Now, again, I want to welcome you to Black on Black Crime. You can call in and join us. Our number is area code 909-265-9189. Man, I guess I've been gone for a minute. That's 909-265-9189. And the chat room is now open. In case you thought I was slipping, chat room is now open. Now, before we go into the show, we'd like to do a little entertainment news, and I want to start off by saying there's a couple of birthday shout-outs to singer, producer, and composer Valerie Simpson Ashford. She had a birthday this month. Bradford Marcellus, the jazz saxophonist and icon, also had a birthday. I just want to make sure I threw those two in before we got started as birthdays. And a former NBA great, Dean Meminger, for those folks who are old enough to know, Dean the Dream Meminger, he passed away. He used to play for the New York Knicks, passed away a few days ago, and according to the New York Times, he was found unconscious at a hotel, and they called 911. But Dean Meminger was 65 years old, but he was a man for the New York Knicks, is all I have to say. So I want to make sure I said that. Now, Robin Thicke, also in the news, Robin Thicke attempted to settle the lawsuit filed against him by a Marvin Gaye's family with a six-figure settlement. However, according to Billboard, the offer was rejected, and Frankie Christian Gaye, Marvin Gaye III, and Nona Gaye, shouldn't have said their middle names, but it's filed in the lawsuit, filed a copyright infringement case for sampling Marvin Gaye's Got to Give It Up and the latest chart-topping single by Robin Thicke called Blurred Lines. Marvin Gaye III said the family of the late R&B singer is not happy with the way that Robin Thicke went about doing business, let alone suing them for something where he clearly got the inspiration from, at the least. So if you don't know the story, Robin Thicke ended up suing the Marvin Gaye family. I know this is going to sound bad. Ended up suing Marvin Gaye's family and Parliament, you know, publishing company, just in case they sued them for using, you know, samples or copyrighted information. He tried to get the jump on them and then tried to settle out of court. I think Robin Thicke is going to lose his case. This is just me. I'm just going to go on a limb and say that right off the bat. But, you know, who knows how this is going to go. Also, Forbes list the world's highest paid DJs. Now, I need Finesse to be here on this, but I didn't know there was a highest paid DJ, but the British producer Calvin Harris, like he's a DJ in Britain, made $46 million last year, and a Dutch DJ made $32 million. Who knew that hip-hop was going to take off where you can make $32 million in a year in DJing? I don't know. Just thought I'd throw that one out there. And Lee Daniels, from The Butler, Lee Daniels, The Butler, was the number one film over the weekend with $17 million at the box office, totaling to date $52 million. The film, if it keeps up at that pace, will probably be the first African-American director in a while who has reached the goal of $100 million milestone domestically. Now, if you don't know, just for a little trivia, the last person to reach $100 million as a film director was Sidney Poitier in 1980 with the comedy Stir Crazy with Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder. That made $101 million, which was back in 1980, like I said, and just so that you know, it was a staggering amount and an extremely rare achievement back then. So if you adjust 1980 with the 2013 dollars, that would be an unbelievable $307 million today that Stir Crazy would have made. That's how amazing that number is. But Tim Story, who was a director, came close to $100 million. He didn't, but he came. He was just under, so we might as well throw him in the category, with Anton Fuqua's Olympus Has Fallen. That made just under $99 million. So the last African-American director to make $100 million is Sidney Poitier. Tim Story came next at close to $99 million, and Lee Butler at this pace will probably come close. Now, I know you're thinking, yeah, Tyler Perry probably had to be close, but Tyler Perry did get about $90 million in one of his films, but didn't go over $100 million domestically. I know that sounds like apples and oranges, doesn't it? Now, more than 250,000 people marched towards the Lincoln Memorial, rallying for jobs and justice, and, you know, to hear some passionate speeches on the March on Washington this week. The moment is captured in a new poststamp, which was unveiled on Friday to commemorate the Civil Rights Movement. John Lewis, the Congressman John Lewis, representative, was at the unveiling of the new Civil Rights Movement stamp, which was released. He said that I'm more than lucky, I'm very blessed to come here and see the unveiling of this beautiful stamp. That's what he said during that ceremony. Now, John Lewis is now 73 years old, and he's the last surviving organizer of that historic march, although there's a lot of people who participated, Julian Bond and some other people who participated who's living, but I guess he was one of the last organizers. Now, he said it is powerful. It is a powerful image. When you look at it, you can't help but to think about the debt that America owes those marchers is kind of what that was coming from the Postmaster General. That debt part came from the Postmaster General. So earlier this year, the Postal Service issued a stamp paying tribute to the Emancipation Proclamation and Civil Rights Pioneer Rosa Parks. Together, the three stamps are part of what Stroman said is a series that honors historic milestones in the country's struggle for civil rights. So, if you want to check that out, it was just released, and I think they're available now, but the new Civil Rights stamp commemorating the Civil Rights Movement and the March on Washington has been kind of released on the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. Now, I want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. We haven't even gotten started yet. This is just a little bit of information that was going on in the world before we get into the program. Now, we are on our first one-year anniversary of the show, so I wanted to make sure that in case you didn't follow along, you can get us in the archives at soulofsyracuse.com/EspriRadio/BOBC if you want to check out the show, or if you want to check out the shows in the archives. They're there. We have a ton of shows in there. There was Dillard University President versus, you know, Dr. Dre, the music mogul Dr. Dre, Kelly Rowland versus Beyonce, Tony Braxton versus Shamar Moore, Kobe Bryant versus his mother. We had a ton of shows. So if you want to check that out, Scandal versus Deception, all of those are in the archives. Check those out. We are going to go to an anniversary clip, but before I do that, I just want to say you can call in and join us at area code 909-265-9189. And on this show, this is Russell Simmons versus the Harriet Tubman skit. We need to see if that's a black-on-black crime. And director Lee Daniels versus black women. Okay, and I also want to discuss this James Brown biopic while we're at it. So just want to remind you, you are listening to Black on Black Crime. And, you know, before I guess we go to our main commercial or our first commercial, just wanted to say that you can call in, you can join us, feel free, hit us up in the chat room. They're all open, just in case Vanessa's out there complaining. I didn't see his note yet, so just in case he's complaining. It is available, so you're listening to Black on Black Crime. Again, we're going to come back. I want to talk about James Brown's biopic. There's a new director called Tate Taylor. He has a James Brown. He's the new director of the James Brown biopic, and that's coming out. Spike Lee was scheduled to do it, but the producer said that he didn't have rights to it anymore, and someone else is coming to do it. But Anyway, we're going to take a break and come back. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. This is our first show, first anniversary show. So we are going to take a break with, let's see, let's go with our break on The Griot. This is a show that we did in the past that The Griot was one of our main topics on Black Crime. But we'll take a break and come back with more Black on Black Crime after this.
You know what? I never paid attention because Griot was one of the ones that I always told people to read, you know, outside of their media, because I thought Griot was fair. But over the last year, I kept seeing, and I'm on it now, and I see the NBC News, but I never saw that before over the last 2 years, I guess. And I was wondering why it looked watered down. And this is not the first time over the last 2 years I've seen where the Griot, you know, whenever there's a black leader, they always bring up something negative about their past. They did the same thing probably a few months ago when it was announced that Al Sharpton was going to be part of CNN and was getting a show on CNN.
It is disappointing when our news and magazines and all the other tools that we have to inform the African-American community that are so pure are
right.
Sold out. I felt that way about Essence magazine. And, you know, I mean, I understand though, Essence held on for how many, you know, how years and years and years and years before
right.
Selling out. But, you know, the fact that we have media like this one and shows that are telling people, you know, what's really going on is great.
For members in the black media, for them to not Minister Farrakhan in his efforts, these things out there
too. And I want to say this because in the media, when the media starts talking noise about how we should react to one thing or another, I have to say the minister is on the ground. And so when he went into Queens, Brooklyn, all these other cities, you know, with hundreds of people, talking about you can't blame, you know, they picked up the negative, of course, and you can't blame the white man, you guys are killing each other, you need to do some other things, but he can talk to him like that. So if you can't respect that, I say shut it up. So the black on black crime to me was obvious. Every chance I get, I tell people I went to the Million Man March. I came back and DC Transit said they sold 1.2 million or 1.3 million tickets on the three stops of the mall. So since they knew how much money they made, they know it was over a million people there. So you name somebody else who can bring a million people to one spot, and then I will give it to you. But that is a black-on-black crime if I ever seen one. Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. This is our first anniversary show for Black on Black Crime, and that was a clip from, you know, we were talking about the Griot and how they were publishing information that was kind of not looked upon favorably on black leaders, and how could the Griot do something like that? So I think we unanimously on that show said that the Griot committed a black on black crime. But I'm glad you're here joining us. The call-in number is 909-265-9189, 909-265-9189. Now, we have some more clips for some other shows that we're going to run, but I just want to welcome you back on this show. We're going to talk about Russell Simmons and his, you know, we missed this last time, but Russell Simmons and his Harriet Tubman skit, we'll talk about that a little later. We're going to also play or talk about Lee Daniels and his statements about black women. I think that he's just going off the rails. But first, before we get to that, and before we go to this James Brown topic, I want to say this. Oh, by the way, you can catch us in the archives, and you can catch us on Facebook, archives, B-O-B-C, well, this will be solarsyracuse.com/Esprit Radio/B-O-B-C. if you want to join us and listen to some of our past shows. And again, I ran off some before break, but I'll run off some more. We had Akeisha Coles versus Michelle Williams, Stevie Wonder versus Lil Wayne, Terrence Howard versus Oprah Winfrey. So there's a lot of great shows. Aaron McGruger versus Herman Cain. You can go check those out in the archive. Those were past Black on Black Crime shows. You can check them out. They're there. Download them. Listen to them on your convenience and tell a friend to tell a friend. Hey, if you want to check out some more shows in the future, you can join us in the chat room. Also, it is now open. Or if you want to send us an email, just send it to bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. That's bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. All right, before I go to our next topic, I did miss this story because I did put it in the show description, so I guess I should talk about it. Now, Colin Powell, the former Secretary of State, Colin Powell, spoke about voters' rights and the March on Washington. Now, this is not going to be a black-on-black crime, I don't think. But Colin Powell blasted North Carolina for their voter ID laws, while the governor who signed it into law was in the audience. Powell said, "I want to see politicians that encourage every American to vote, not to make it more difficult to vote. It immediately turns off a voting block for the Republican Party." Well, their needs for the Republican Party. Now, Colin Powell said that, and he also said these kind of actions do not build a base. They just turn people away. The bill passed in North Carolina requires voters to show ID, state-issued ID, and shortens early voting and ends pre-registration for teens for voting. So you can say what you like, but there is no voter fraud, is what Colin Powell said. How can it be widespread and undetected? So Colin Powell has a point. Wanted to make sure we put that out there because I hear on so many shows. Now, personally, I know that Colin Powell is saying that to his party so they can get more minorities, but how can you join a party that you know is trying to lock you out of a system? Oh, well, we have some internet comments on this one. One said, Powell might as well have been talking to himself. The Republican Party has no interest in black voters. So-called voter fraud is nothing more than a lie to make it difficult for people, mainly blacks, to vote. And another one says, this is how the Republican Party pacifies their white base by spitting on blacks. I'm no fan of the president, of President Obama, or the Democratic Party, but as long as the base of the Republican Party is made up of frightened, ignorant races, most black voters will continue to vote Democrat. Colin Powell is wasting his breath. All right, those are some internet comments from the Colin Powell. That was Colin Powell on voting rights. But Colin Powell also talked about the March on Washington and a couple of other things while he was speaking this weekend on, I think it was Meet the Press is what Colin Powell was on. And he pretty much, I wouldn't say he took a shot at the president, but we'll put it this way. Colin Powell said that the George Zimmerman acquittal of killing Trayvon Martin was questionable and urged the president to be more passionate about race issues. Now, he said that in an interview, and he said, since I guess they described him, he's the first black Secretary of State and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He said Martin Luther King would have insisted the dream is not fully achieved yet. If he were alive today, is what Powell said. He also spoke about the marking of the 50th anniversary, which is actually tomorrow. So the 50th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech. He said, if Dr. King was here, I'm quite sure he would say congratulations on all of the progress that was made, but let's keep it going. The dream is not fully achieved yet, is what Powell said. Powell referred to the jury's verdict in the Trayvon Martin's case by saying, I think that it will be seen as questionable judgment on the part of the judicial system down there, but I don't think that it will have staying power. These cases come along and they blaze across the midnight sky, and then after a period of time, they're forgotten. That doesn't mean Obama should keep silent, though, is what Powell said. He said, I'd like to see him more passionate about race questions. Now, I don't know if that's a black-on-black crime, but if you want to tell me that, that was Colin Powell's perspective of what the president should be doing when it comes to race. And he also said, at the same time, that mirror should show us, well, he said there have been a lot of accomplishments, and we should be so proud of our accomplishments. We should be proud of our accomplishments, but at the same time, that mirror should show us that there's still a lot of problems in this country, that there is still race bias that exists in certain parts of our country. Now, okay, Colin Powell, I'm just going to get off of that. I just wanted to let you know this is what Colin Powell said, but I don't know if that's a black-on-black crime for Colin Powell. He's being critical, but Colin Powell is supportive, and he did endorse the president. So I don't know where to put that, but just wanted to bring that up as a just kind of as a conversation piece. Now, I just want to remind you, you're listening to the Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You can join us at area code 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. Everybody on the line, if you're there and you want to put your hand up, cool, we'll bring you in. This is our first show after our year on existence. This is our year anniversary of Black on Black Crime. I am going to play periodically just some conversations that we had over the year on Black on Black Crime. If you missed those shows, just check them out in the archives. It is at soulofsyracuse.com/esprieradio.bobc or slash BOBC. Let me say that again. soulofsyracuse.com/esprieradio.bobc if you want to check that out. Now, before I take another break, you know, there was a James Brown biopic that that Spike Lee was set to direct. Right? Now, Spike Lee is set to direct this. I think it was in January that the announcement came on that Spike Lee would not direct James Brown. Now, he was replaced by another director, Tate Taylor. Now, Spike Lee initially selected to direct a biopic, and it was just a recent change. So Brian Grazer, if you don't know who he is, he's a super producer, produced a lot of big hits in Hollywood. He's overseeing the production, and he chose Lee after the movie Inside Man. But in January, Lee was replaced, and Grazer said, he was the choice when I had the rights. I had just produced Inside Man with him. When the rights left me, I didn't have any control, and I couldn't make director choices. So when it came later with new people and new rights holders, we weren't doing it with Spike anymore. The world is different, was different then. Now you have to make movies for less money. I don't really know what that means from Brian Grazer, but Mick Jagger, I think it's Mick Jagger that came in. Maybe there's another producer that came in with Brian Grazer. So they're directing the good Lord, the James Brown biopic, and they're not using anybody of color. Now, when the black blogosphere had a negative reaction to Spike's not doing it, Brian Grazer actually added, I started my career making Boomerang, if you remember, with Eddie Murphy and Halle Berry and that all-star cast, and CB4. He said, I've made so many movies where I've had supported black artists. Tate, as the director, Tate Taylor, made The Help and had the most had mostly an entirely black population, is what Grazer said. He said, I just wanted to try to make the best movie. Now, Brian Grazer, I just want to tell you this. That did not help your case by saying you made Boomerang and CB4. Okay, because if I'm not mistaken, the Hudlin brothers directed Boomerang and Chris Rock directed CB4. there were not white directors on there, so you can't compare those by saying that James Brown. Anywho. All right, so I just wanted to share that in the biopic. If you have any questions or comments for anyone online, you can hit one and comment on that. But I just thought it was interesting that Brian Grazer came in and was pretty much saying, hey, you know what? James Brown biopic, no, I didn't do it. Or Spike Lee, I didn't have a choice to bring in Spike Lee, but I couldn't find any directors of color, and this guy from Mississippi would be perfect for it. Now, the movie hasn't been cast yet, so nobody knows who's going to play whom in the movie, but I just thought it was interesting. I saw the whole Twitter sphere light up with this conversation. Thought I would bring it to Black on Black Crime and see. This is not considered a Black on Black Crime, but just to see how everybody felt about it. But it just seemed interesting to me. I just want to say hey to Lavinia in the chat room. And, you know, again, if you have any questions in the chat, I do have some internet comments. Let me see. Yeah, I don't think I can read that one on the air. This had to be about the James Brown biopic, but I won't read that. But anyway, you can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. You're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. We're celebrating our one-year anniversary. I am rolling solo at the moment, but expecting the usual characters to join in. You know, in our last commercial break, it was about the Griot with Kathleen, our commissioner, Kathleen, and Finesse on there. But our next break is going to pretty much have Kai, our girl Kai, columnist and author Kai Sims on this one. This one is about Nina Simone. We did have a really long conversation during the discussion of Zoe Saldana playing Nina Simone and some other things on there. So, hey, you'll listen to this. We're going to take a break and come back. You're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You can join us in the chat room. Hit us up on email, bobc@solosyracuse.com, if you want to join in on the conversation. But in that case, we'll be back after we take this break. Again, this break is Nina Simone conversation and Zoe Saldana. We'll be back. Now, actress Zoe Saldana has picked up the role playing Nina Simone in a biopic about this singer. Now, many people have written posts and tweets and all of those things about the actress, saying she's not dark enough, she doesn't have dark enough skin or black or features to resemble Nina Simone.
It's probably never going to be a consensus as to who would be the best actress, but Mary J. Blige, love her to death as a singer. She's evolving as an actress, but I probably would have picked Lauryn Hill over. But you know, that's always going to be, it's always going to be someone better. Yeah, you know, the singing, the just even the sound. You know, it seems to me that Lauryn Hill would have a better sound as Nina Simone. But, you know, I'm not a singer, so, you know, that's just my humble opinion. But I think it's unfortunate, you know, again, I'm playing both sides, so I think it's great that Zoe Saldana, who's an excellent actress, has the opportunity to play such an iconic person. I guess if I was an actress and, you know, the odds are already stacked against you when you're an actress of dark skin and a predominantly white woman's acting world, I think I could understand how that could affect them. hopefully they don't take it out on Zoe Saldana personally, because she, I guess they picked who they thought was the best person for the part. But I can understand where there would be resentment as a dark-skinned African-American woman with the opportunity to play a role of a lifetime, and it goes to a light-skinned person.
Okay.
So, you know, it's kind of unfortunate that it even has to be to this level, but I don't doubt that Zoe Saldana would do an excellent job in that role.
Yeah,
but my pick would have been Lauryn Hill.
What are the internet comments that says, yes, Miss Simone was older, sultry, sexy, beautiful, African-American woman. If Alfre Woodard could sing, she would be perfect. Zadana is beautiful and talented in her own right, but she's too young. And another one said, I think it's mainly because she looks nothing like Nina Simone. This movie would appeal to a certain market, mainly. All right, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. This is our anniversary show, and now it's time to bring on the commissioner. Hey, Kathleen, how are you? Uh-oh, I think we lost it, Kathleen. You have us on mute. Every now and then, you put yourself on silencer. All right, come in when you're ready. We're on mute. But you're listening to Black on Black Crime. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. Now, that particular break was about Nina Simone, and you can catch that in the archives. I don't have the date when we did that show, but you can go to solasyracuse.com/SBRadio/BOBC if you want to check that out. Now, I know we have the commissioner on. I think she has us on mute, but she'll come on when she's ready. Just let me know. And she's running, so since it's our anniversary show, she wants to come on and yell a little bit. I want to say to everyone on the line, thanks for joining us, and thanks for joining in and making this show successful. I really, really, really appreciate everybody's participation and the positive feedback that we've gotten over this year. And also, I want to say, Lavinia is saying, so she went on a...
I'm back.
Okay. Hey, Kathleen. How are you, Kathleen?
Happy anniversary to Black on Black Crime. Happy anniversary to Black on Black Crime.
We got to change it. No, I was going to say we got to change the name of the show because happy anniversary to Black on Black Crime. That really sounds that nice.
I know, that's like black, right?
It sounds like a negative, doesn't it? Happy anniversary to Black on Black Crime. Okay.
The radio show. Hey, Rome, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited about the first year anniversary of the radio show.
I know. See, I think you had it on mute, and you didn't listen to yourself in the first clip after Finesse started talking.
No,
when you were talking
I hung
about
up
the
with
grill.
Finesse.
See, look, you didn't have to say you hung up. I knew. So you were in the anniversary clips for some comments, so you didn't say anything that was bad, but. you're
no,
in
I never say anything too bad. And I was listening to Kai talk about Lauryn Hill, and I still think that that was the best choice in actress for that role. I still, you know, even after all this time to think about it, I haven't been able to work on that yet. I'm still not feeling up for that role.
Well, you know, it.
And no offense, I love her.
Well. Wait a minute. Which one? You said Lauryn Hill or Mary J?
Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
Lauryn Hill.
She would have.
Lauryn Hill.
Good in it. Yes, Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill. Mm-hmm. Now, I was going to say that although they've already shot the movie, I am curious to how it came out. I haven't heard
yeah,
anything
about
it.
Nobody's talking about it. That's a sign. Trust me.
I wonder if they're going to scrap it. Is a thing for me. Well, it depends. I guess it would depend on the performance.
Well, you know I think about that? I was thinking about her as you were playing the clips I was thinking about it again. I'm like, Kathleen, what really is the issue for you with that? And you know how when you're watching, sometimes you watch people, like when I watched Denzel and Malcolm X, and some a lot of times when people are playing biopics, after a while, even Sam Jackson on Broadway when he was playing Dr. King, there comes a moment, if the actor is phenomenal, there comes a moment when you forget that you're watching the actor and you really feel into the person that they're playing.
Right.
And I just felt like if I'm watching Zoe Saldana, I'll be spending so much time just trying to...
paying attention to her.
Yeah, trying to paint Nina Simone in that, because there's nothing about her, even her, the acting that she's done, or just looking at her physically, or trying to think of her as a singer. There's nothing about her that moved me towards Nina Simone, the era that it was. And then on the opposite hand, you think about, you know, Denzel and Malcolm X, you can feel it. You know, there's a connection. Not like there always has to be, because with Angela Bassett, you would be like, where would we get Tina Turner from Angela Bassett? But she doesn't look anything like her. But after a while, I started to say, like, oh, man, Tina, don't do that, you know? Tina, kick your butt,
right.
You know?
Yeah, as an actress, you forgot that she wasn't Tina. Like, we knew who Tina
exactly.
was. Like, we forgot
exactly.
about her.
So
unlike, I don't want to go...
I don't know. I'd have to see it.
Now, I don't want to go way back, but it's like Paul Whitfield playing Martin Luther King. I don't think I felt
exactly.
that when I was little.
Exactly.
He never looked more like him.
It sounded a little like him, but it didn't work.
It just didn't work, yeah. So you can't just put somebody in there to mimic someone else, especially when they're a real person. That's a little bit different.
Exactly.
Now, especially because
a lot of people don't know Nina Simone that well, right?
Right.
So that this would be their introduction to Nina Simone. It just was all wrong.
Hey, now, I just want to say, Lavinia's in the chat room. She said, hell, I would have been a better fit for the role, but I don't think I look anything like
Me
Nina
too.
Simone.
I'm with you. I'm with you, girl.
She said, at least you don't have to wear a fro. Hers is authentic. She
you know
can grow
saying?
A fro for the part.
Something.
Yeah, I don't think... No, I'm saying I don't think Zaldana can actually grow a fro for the part. Well, maybe she had to wear a wig. So that might not have worked.
It just didn't work. They just made a boo-boo on that one.
Oh, so quickly, let me ask you this. I just did the story about James Brown biopic. You know, they replaced Spike Lee and have a white director from Mississippi because he did The Help, is directing James Brown's biopic. Now, they didn't do any of the casting yet, but what do you think about the interpretation of James Brown's life by somebody who's not of color? Like, I just really have a problem with this. So I just want to – it's not a black-on-black crime because Brian Grazer is the producer, and he just said – you know, he released on his Twitter, he just said that they didn't have enough money and they had new producers and it wasn't his call anymore. So he produced Inside Man and he hired Spike. So he hired Spike for James Brown. And then when they got other producers on it, it wasn't his call. So they got other people in and they picked Tate Taylor, who did The Help. What do you think about that?
That's a man?
Yeah. It's a white guy from Mississippi. He's a younger guy, and he's an actor, actually, but he is directing James.
A white actor from Mississippi.
Doing James Brown.
You said, right? You Mississippi in the United States, like down south? Is that Mississippi?
Yeah, that Mississippi. Yeah.
Okay, not Mississippi, South Africa or something like that. Mississippi. Mm-hmm.
Well, Mississippi is kind of like South Africa, but you ain't heard that from me. I'm just going to throw that out
there. Okay, so... I would be curious to know how old he is, because if he's too old, then we know what that problem is, and if he's too young, then we know what that problem is. So I don't know how this is going to work either.
I think he's in his late 20s or early 30s.
20s?
He's probably about 28-ish.
We couldn't even get a black person in their 20s to do James Brown. Come on, seriously?
No, that's my point. Like, I think I would have had a problem with someone just young doing James Brown to begin with, but Mississippi and the black experience in Mississippi, who's going to tell that story? And you're doing a biopic, so I can see this turning all sorts of wrong. because if you focus too much on the negative about what he had to go through, you won't see the impact. You only know how the impact of James Brown was to white folks.
I think we really better be careful because they didn't start putting us in the back of the bus in 10 minutes.
Well,
We're going backwards.
And isn't it Mississippi who wants to change their voting laws with everybody else? But
I thought they did already.
I'm just saying. Right. All I'm saying that there's some interpretation issues when it comes to culture. So I am always concerned with biopics because not that someone white could not do a movie about someone, but when it's their biography, it's kind of interpreting how their life turned out. Right, so you know,
yeah, but
doing
see, it, yes, I'm
yeah.
Sorry.
So you
go
have
ahead.
To relate. You have to relate
yeah,
to the
just,
experience.
And I wanted to add, like again, with the, to add to what you're saying, which is absolutely 100%. I agree, and of course, because you're right. But the other part of that is when you're doing a figure like James Brown, he is not Dr. King, albeit, but it's just like you're doing someone very, a very historical figure who encompasses the black experience. So you're not just
right.
doing a biopic of, like, you know, Kathleen Williams or something. You're doing a biopic of a major historical figure when you do James Brown. So how are you going to get somebody who doesn't understand the history of the period at all, didn't learn
right.
it in school, nothing, and then turn around and give it to them? It's just so wrong. It's worse
yeah,
than Zoe Saldana. I would totally take her and Nina Simone over there.
Right. We'll be okay with Nina Simone like and Zoe Saldana now in comparison because James Brown's impact is so much bigger to the black experience than Nina than even Zoe Saldana's portrayal of Nina Simone. Like, at least that's the scripted version of her life, but it's just not her life. But
that's right.
I just wanted to say that. All right. So anyway, I don't know if I need to let you go, but I just wanted to say, I just wanted to ask you about that because that seems so much harm. That seems like it's so much more damaging. You could do so much more damage with a biopic of somebody like James Brown.
That's protest work.
Yeah, actually, it is. It is. And Brian Grazer's excuse was because he did Boomerang back in the day, the Eddie Murphy movie, Boomerang and CB4. But he neglected to say that Boomerang was produced by the Hudlin brothers, so they directed, and CB4 was Chris Rock. So you use black people still to interpret what they were saying, so it doesn't automatically give you insight because you hung around black folks to be able to interpret that. You know what I mean? So even with Tate doing The Help wasn't based on somebody's life. It's telling a story. So you can read a book and tell a story and interpret it, but somebody's life is a little bit different.
That's right.
Right. So I just wanted to share that.
Absolutely.
All right. So I just wanted to let everybody know you're listening to Black on Black Crime, and thanks for dropping in. Kathleen wanted to make sure, you know, came and got your shout out in there.
Yeah.
For the anniversary.
So listen, love you guys. Happy anniversary, and I will see you on the other side.
All right, cool. And
okay.
You know, we'll have to bring you in on one of the night shows.
Okay,
so
we
can have a lot.
I want my commissioner role. I don't like the way you guys like phased me out, but you know, hey.
Hey, didn't nobody phase you out. That's finesse wanting some sympathy. But he don't.
That's like
he didn't run
that's like
here.
When people that's when people move your work office to, you know, get to something. I guess
we're just gonna take a little bit away from you. Well, since nobody's committing black on black crimes today, see, we didn't need a commissioner. Daniel and Kai are floating, so they're on the road. So I expect them to call in, but they won't be committing any crimes because we're not going to talk about Russell Simmons and the Harriet Tubman thing today because that is way too many black on black crimes there. So we'll save that for another time. So that you, because we're going to need the help. We're going to need you to rule on these because we're all going to commit them.
You got it.
But,
I'll talk to you later.
All right. All right. Talk to you later. All right. Now, just want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. It's 909-265-9189. We are just going through some old you know, just some memories of some of the old shows. And we'll take another quick break and talk about, let's see, which ones that we have up next. I think our next break, Clinton Gallo, who wrote a book called, I think it's Anatomy of a Hustle, How the Cable Industry Came to South Central Los Angeles. So Clinton came on, discussed the book, and talked about how, you know, what kind of hassles that they had, and he and his brother, you know, putting together the group just to bring cable to South Central. So this is one of our shows that's in the archives. Remember, you can catch Black on Black Crime and look at, listen to any of these shows in their entirety in the archives. Go to www.soulofsyracuse.com/S3Radio/BOBC. That is soulofsyracuse.com/S3Radio/BOBC. This is going to be Clinton Gallo. You can also join us at 909-265-9189 and join in on the show. We're going to come back and do some more entertainment news after this break. So we'll do a break and come back. We'll see you on the other side. Be awarded the cable television rights in South Central LA. Their bid was derailed by the corruption that prevailed in the LA's mayor office and the city council members. Of all of the bidding groups, the Galloway Group had the financing to build a system, but they were denied. So I just want to give you a synopsis of it and bring on, well, let's bring on Finesse.
And I'd like to welcome to the show Mr. Clinton E. Galloway. Thank you so much for taking time out to be on Black Crime.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. What happened was this. In 1979, my brother, who was a very, very bright guy, and, you know, technically a genius because he had one of those 150-something IQs, but he came to me and said, hey, you know, this whole thing of cable television, he had met some of the people who were in the cable television industry, and he had met the owners of the people who were building the franchise right next to the one we had bought. He said cable's going to become the new newspaper and become a powerful tool in communication. He explained that no one, there was an area called South Central Los Angeles, and no one wanted to bid for it. No one wanted to seek the license for it, and no one wanted to build it. When we went to the city and approached them, they said, well, no one wants to build it because the people there are too poor to afford cable. We disagreed and thought there was something that was necessary for our community to grow and to have the access to the information and the technology that was becoming commonplace in America at that point. We went down to City Hall, and we were directed, well, you're going to need to go through a bureaucratic process. They said, well, go see this councilman, Councilman Farrell, who was a black councilman. Because no one else wanted it, we assumed that everybody would be happy that we showed up. The second time my brother showed up at his place, the councilman's deputy took him over to the councilman's attorney's office. And they together said that if you give us 2/3 of your company, we'll let you do business in this city. And that clearly wasn't acceptable to me or to my brother. And they changed the rules and said, well, we want your money to all be up front. We want you to have $40 million in the bank up front before we'll even consider you having a license. But then again, they brought in the mayor of the city of Los Angeles. They brought in Tom Bradley. He sat us all down. He said, this is the deal that you're going to do, or you're not going to do business here in the city of Los Angeles. And when people speak of black on black crime, the black crime being committed by politicians against the citizens is one of the most deadly forms of criminal activity that I have seen. Forget the gang. You better watch these politicians.
Take a walk with me, first the walk with me, see what all that I can see. Check this. Watch.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. It is our anniversary show, so we wanted to play some clips of some past shows. You know, that was Clinton Gallo, Anatomy of a Hustle, how cable industry came to South Central Los Angeles. Hey, you can check it out in archives. www.soulofsyracuse.com, Esprit Radio, /BOBC, and check out that show in its entirety. That's right. Now, I just want to tell you, you can join us. Area code 909-265-9189. You know, we had a commissioner call in. We didn't relieve the commissioner of her duties, no matter what she says. She is still in. We're going to just kind of cover some entertainment news in a second, but I just wanted to make sure you're caught up on some of the things that went on in the world. We'll also cover some, you know, we had some main topics today, and one was the Lee Daniels versus black women. And I would do the topic, but I think we need some black women to actually talk about this. Don't want to do it from a guy's perspective. And also, Russell Simmons versus Harriet Tubman. He did the Harriet Tubman skit. So, you know, we'll have to kind of be easy on that one. Since we're doing our anniversary show, I figured there'll be no yelling. And by the way, if you want to hear the yelling, just check out our show, Spike Lee versus the movie Django Unchained. That's in our archives. We did enough yelling for 12 shows on that particular show, but you can check that out also in archives. And I just want to say hey again to Lavinia in the chat room. Oh, she had comments about the James Brown. She said, how much input from family and friends who knew James Brown best will they get? Like, how much input will they get? And we don't know. They haven't done the casting of it. It was just announced that there was producer changes and a director change. So although we know that other people can do a good job in doing movies when it comes to people of color, we're just talking about biopics. So from my perspective, I was just saying that in a biopic, if you didn't know, when Martin Luther King was killed, I think James Brown was in New York City. And so when rioting broke out all over the place, James Brown actually traveled in black neighborhoods on the radio to get people to stop the civil unrest. James Brown took it upon himself. He was one of the first black artists to own his own private jet and his record company and all these things. He was very important to the black community during the 60s and beyond, but the personal side of how he communicated with people is kind of important. So that can sometimes be lost when you start talking about culture in society. So we're just hoping that that's not misinterpreted. So through your experiences is how you see culture, and that is the only point that we're making. We're not saying that someone white couldn't direct a black person's story. It's a biopic, so to know why someone did something is a whole different story. We have cultural differences. Anyway, okay, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. Always mess that up. Since Kai is not here to correct me, that is what's going on. Now, in the world of entertainment, news and entertainment, we have a movie that's coming out called Una Noche, which is the impressive directorial debut of a NYU student, Lucy Malloy. Now, Spike Lee, whose production grant award was given to Malloy back in January 2010, mentored the filmmaker, who also won the Best Director Award when the film, you know, along with other awards, Best Actor and Best Cinematography, premiered at the Tribeca Film Fest in 2012. Now, the indie drama is understatedly grim in realism, and it talks about the oppressed people in Cuba and, you know, their disempowerment and all of that good stuff. So Spike Lee, this is presented by Spike Lee, so it's a Spike Lee-housed film, but the director is a student, Lucy Malloy, from there. Now, also, Debbie Allen, and her producing partner, Sam Haskell, sold the script for the unedited drama for an untitled drama to the CW. Now, it's described as Fame-like, a music theme series. Allen starred in Fame, by the way, in the 80s. Now, the new project will center around an L.A.-based performing arts school. That's what's going on in entertainment. And speaking of Zoe Saldana, she and her sister, Cicely Saldana, have inked a first-look deal via their production company, Saldana Productions, with Lionsgate Entertainment, which includes content for both TV and film. Lionsgate launched Pantheon Films, which will be a Latino-focused Hollywood studio, and they're partnering with Saldana's production company to do television and film. So Saldana released a statement. She just said that we look forward to a fruitful and productive relationship with Pantheon. So we'll have to check that out. Now, Tyler Perry, although, you know, we have kind of been talking about Tyler Perry a little bit, Tyler Perry has been sued twice by other writers claiming that he essentially stole material from their works. The first suit was made public in November of last year when author Terry Donald, who writes under the name TLO Redness, and who claimed that Perry lifted the premise for Good Deeds from her 2007 novel, Bad Apples Can Be Good Fruit. The second happened earlier this year when the screenwriter William James filed a lawsuit against Perry, claiming that the premise for his film, most recent directorial debut effort, Temptation, was stolen from his 2009 screenplay, Lovers Kill. Now, no word yet on whether the Lovers Kill lawsuit, where that stands, but announced earlier, a New York federal judge dismissed Terry McDonald's 2012 claim about the film Good Deeds and that it was a ripoff from her novel. It was dismissed. Now, in her suit, she said that she sent the copy of her book to Perry's production company, and his company is 34th Street Films, before Good Deeds became a film, and she apparently believed that he lifted the idea for the film from her novel. Now, the reasons given by the judge that threw it out was the copyright law only protects expressions, not ideas, and that only similarities between the two works was that they both concerned a romance between, or they both, yeah, they both were concerned, had a romance between a wealthy black man and woman who experienced hardships. That was the only similarities between the two works. So that was dismissed. But we will let you know how the next one goes. When we find out. Just want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. Just want to do a show and tell you it is our anniversary and that we just wanted to come on and kind of let you know that we kind of appreciate the works and what was going on with, you know, with everybody. I know everyone's kind of busy and running today, so we didn't do a full show, but want to make sure that we got on the air and tell you, hey, we're just kind of working up some stuff to kind of revamp the program a little bit, but we will definitely be back next week with more Black on Black Crime. You know, you can call in. You can join us at 909-265-9189. You can check us out in the archives. Check out some of our old shows. I shouldn't call them old shows because some of them are really good. We have actor Marlon Wayans versus Tyler Perry. We also had Kimora Lee Simmons versus Urban Fashion. She made some statements about urban fashions back in the days, but all of those shows are there. Essence Atkins, she was on the hot seat. Well, she wasn't really on the hot seat, but we talked about that. Jackie Robinson and Ernie Davis movies. We talked about that, Claudia Jordan, and reality show Omarosa. Reality show star Omarosa. You know, we were checking that for Black on Black Crime. But all of those shows out there, you can check them out in the archives at solasyracuse.com /espyradio.solasyracuse.com. Now, let's go to the phone lines. Let's bring in Lavinia. How are you, Lavinia?
Well, hello, Jerome, and happy anniversary to the Black on Black Crime radio show.
All right, now. Well, thank you. Thank you. You know,
blow the whistle.
I was going to say, you know what, I was going to do the applause because Kathleen does the applause, but I figure it would just be self-righteous for me to applaud Black on Black Crime while we're on Black on
Black Crime. No, go ahead. Do it. Do it. I say do it. Go for it. It's the anniversary
show. You say do it. You say do it anyway.
Why not?
I feel some kind of way about you. Are you sure this doesn't look bad? For me to applaud my own check?
No, I as a loyal listener feel like you should go ahead and do it.
Okay. On that note, we might as well just make it happen.
Yes. Give it up. With COBC coming to you with information that you need to know, discussion that you need to hear, and a place where you need to vent.
There we go. Black on Black Crime. Just join us. You know, Black on Black Crime, in case you don't know, when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't do anyone else. Now, you did say in the chat room about the movie, what was it, the James Brown movie. I didn't quote you, but about the director being changed from Spike Lee. Now, do you know what I meant when I was saying that, though? Because I know
exactly what you're saying, okay. As far as the difference between a biopic and, I mean, because, you know, as we all know, The Color Purple was a wonderful movie, and it was directed by...
And it was a great book.
Yes, and he had a lot of input. Like, he didn't just go out and do it on his own and just, you know, pick a couple people here and there. You could see that there was a lot of input from us, from the author, from the actors, in the film that was really put into it. So, I mean, that was all. Now, this is kind of sketchy. This new James Brown thing, I don't know. It's kind of sketchy to
me. Right. So even with George Lucas doing Tuskegee, I think they did a good job on it. Like, I think you can interpret something, long as you don't do somebody's personal story, because there are idiosyncrasies in people's personal story. You know, and you know what it reminds me of? I don't mean to get on the political stuff too much, but I don't care. But it reminds me of the jurors in the Trayvon Martin case, right? When the jurors, and I was watching all of these news people come out and saying, I don't understand why didn't he just run home? And not knowing that that's a cultural thing, if you ask anybody black, when you have a sibling at home that's younger than you and somebody's following you, you do not show them when you live. We kind of grow up like that. So you try to lose that food before you get home, but you don't say, hey, let me show you where I live. So culturally, we don't do that. I don't know anybody who actually goes, somebody's following me, let me run home. You get close enough to your home so that in your neighborhood so that people can see that somebody's following you, but you don't show them where your house is.
And my other question is, And I don't understand that logic, too, because if somebody is following you, what is running home going to do? What are you going to do?
I don't know.
If somebody's trying to track you down, they're going to try to get – they're going to follow you into the house. They're going to try to do something to you. I mean, that's stupid. That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, and so I don't even know why anybody brought that up, but apparently that was making the talk show rounds that people – we're interpreting his actions as not a good action because he should have just gone home. And I'm thinking, who does that? Like, with not having black people on the jury, nobody was able to say that. That nobody does that. That's not what you do.
That was just their way of pretty much criminalizing the victim. Like, they didn't want anyone that was in support of George Zimmerman, just were trying to find any way that they could possibly to make Trayvon responsible for what happened. And that's all it came down to. Like, even if he did run home, they would have said, well, how come he didn't run faster? or how come he didn't yell at you?
Right.
They would have came up with something. But, I mean, really, if somebody is chasing you, anybody of any color, you don't know what you would do in that situation until you're in it anyway.
That's
so
right.
All of them
you don't know what you'll do.
Get down. Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right. You know, while you're here, you have a few minutes?
Sure.
Okay. Because I just want to run this black-on-black crime for you. Since we put it in the title, I might as well talk about the Russell Simmons and the Harriet Tubman skit. Because we didn't talk about that last week.
You don't want me to talk
yes,
about that.
Yes, I do. Now, if you
I
don't
thought
know
there wasn't
Russell
supposed Sim- to be any of that today.
You know, I was going to skip it. I probably should skip this. No, should I do it next show? Because
we're in a good place right now.
We're in a good place? Okay.
Yeah, I think everybody right, and
bye.
Anybody listening is in a good place. We don't want to go there. That's going to go next.
Okay. All right. We'll save that for the yelling day because I know that we missed this last time, but he didn't make Uncle Ruckus watch, but he was really going to make we were just going to put him on a hot seat. So I guess we'll hold off on this one right now.
You know what? I just don't understand how 1 week we were actually kind of, you know, behind
Isn't
him and what
right?
he was saying to Don Lemon. And then the very next week, like, he forgot who he was for a second or where he was. And just, he just flipped the script on us. And so now we're just sitting there, like, looking stupid, like, did he really do that?
I felt some kind of way about that because last week's show, or our last show, was Don Lemon and Russell Simmons, and it was like Don Lemon's crazy, and then next week is Russell Simmons being crazy. It was like, can you wait a month? Can you give us a couple of weeks? No. And then, you know, Lee Daniels on the last show was in Uncle Ruckus watch. Remember about the N-word?
Mm-hmm.
And now he makes a statement about black women. And I'm like, okay, I'm not.
You just can't get the break.
I would say this one, but then again, this would take us out of our space. But he did make some statement against black women.
He just never.
I don't know if I should read that. Yeah, I don't know, cause okay, you know what? I'm gonna read it because I have a bunch of internet comments about it. So I'm gonna tell
it.
You.
Okay.
Okay, but we won't do the Russell Simmons though, because that is going to take us all out of our space. But how about Lee Daniels? So doing an interview with Larry King, Lee Daniels compared a gay men's health crisis center to a welfare office. What he said is they had a lot of black women there helping. So as you can imagine, Daniels, you know, comment got a lot of backlash, right? And he was trying to walk it back. But he said, I walked into a gay men's health crisis center, and I was expecting to see a room full of gay men. Well, there was nothing but women there. And the reason why women are there, black women with kids, I thought I walked into a welfare office. That's what he said on Larry King.
Crickets.
I don't. Yeah, I don't.
Why,
yeah,
why did
they, you need cricket for this one.
Okay.
Right. So he's on Larry King. Right. He's on Larry King, and he. Okay. There is cricket.
I'm sorry.
There.
Back up.
Okay.
He said this to Larry King.
To Larry King during an interview.
A televised interview or...
Yes.
Any kind of...
I wouldn't do this if it was print, because this was a television interview. He said he thought he walked into a welfare office because there was nothing but black women there.
Okay.
All right. I know. So I'm going to just automatically tell you how black-on-black crime works. He committed a black-on-black crime. He did not have to throw black women under the bus because he's gay. Right. Now, this is where I can care less if I write black, BOBC@solarsyracuse.com, and I'll delete it there, but I don't really care about this stuff. What happened was he feels like he can openly say what he wants about women, and because he's gay, that he doesn't have any – there's no recourse. Like, you cannot bash anybody. But he threw black women under the bus like all black women are on welfare. because he walked in the office, seen a bunch of black women. He said he thought it was a welfare office. Black people are a small percent of the population and not even the majority of welfare recipients, not even close. But he thought he'd say that on Larry King. So he didn't say that to black folks. It wasn't a joke. He said that to the white guy on TV trying to entertain him, apparently. Now, Daniels, who is openly gay, gave a sort of non-apology when he was confronted with his comments. He said he loves black women, and apparently that wasn't enough to be a gay man. I'm obsessed with and always love black women, is what he told Huffington Post. And he says they are everything to me. And continued to say that if he weren't a gay man, he'd be in love with black women. Okay, Daniel's also. Yeah, exactly.
Is he overdoing it just a little bit?
Wait, I think he went a bit far. So Daniel's also said in his interview with King is that being gay and black, being a gay black man, you can't be open with your sexuality because homophobia is in the black community. I want to say doing inappropriate things to get your butt whooped in the black community, I don't care if you're gay or not. Now, he was just wrong for that. So whether he's gay or not, you'll get your teeth knocked in for that. But he's overcompensating. I know. I don't even know.
That was just plain stupid. Like, if he was saying that, you know, he thought that he was in a women's clinic, then that would make sense. Okay, obviously you're in there for the place that's supposed to be for gay men, but there's a bunch of women there, so, okay, you thought you were in a women's clinic or something. But just to go completely out of that into the welfare office, because what, only black women go to the welfare office, white women don't, black men don't, white men don't, Hispanic people don't. Like, that's just stupid. Mr. Daniels, you're
right
on stupid watch.
Yes. That's why he jumped off of Uncle Ruckus. He was on the watch list for the N-word, whatever he said about, you know, everyone, he don't have a problem with people saying the N-word or something, whatever that was. And now he wants to go ahead and say something racist. Now, I did another show this past weekend. I don't know if you heard it, but there was someone on there saying something about black people can't be racist. He is being racist. He is seeing from the view of not being black because that is stereotypical. Now, that is confused racism. Now, you want to talk about black people being racist? Yep. He got a problem with black people, especially black women. Now he wants to act like
so,
he loves them.
That's what I'm trying to understand, is that because he's gay, which I guess it's another subgroup, we'll say.
Yeah.
Because he's gay, that means
because
that
he's
excluded. He's, is that mutually exclusive? I don't understand. I get that.
Pretty much. He's excluded from any recourse.
You can't be both black and gay. So he's just gay.
he's on a different plane.
I'm just gay.
I'm gay.
Stupid.
Yeah. It is the Zoe Saldana thing.
And applications and stuff. Black, white, no
I'm
other.
Gay. I'm just gay.
Gay.
I'm gay.
Write it in.
there's a whole racial category for gay.
A whole new thing on the census. Was it the 2020 census?
All right.
Black,
so I'm not going to censor.
Black, white, Hispanic, and gay.
Yeah, there you go. Now, I'm not going to censor my internet comments on this one. One said, what a dumbass comment. Like that.
With that.
Hey, I'm going to have to agree with that. And another one said, wow, Lee Daniels, you just can't quit with downing the black race. You're gay. We don't GAF. We, women of color, support your movies. And we support you. We protest for you in the name of your movies, yet we continue to be degraded. You continue to degrade black women when most of your support comes from black women. He said your movies would have been just great. No, would not have been as great or have taken off if Oprah wasn't there. Her name is Clout, and I guess what, Lee? She's a black woman, is what the comment said. And another one said, here we go again with an ignorant comment from Mr. Daniels. I'm sorry, but I don't like that your comments make it appear that only black women are getting help from welfare, et cetera, except for those who abuse the system. There are many. You don't know the story behind why they need help. This goes for other races as well. Remember, black women are not the only women seeking welfare. Good Lord, free your mind and the rest will follow.
Ooh,
and being that I just saw. What'd you say?
I said hashtag free your mind. But you know what? They are absolutely right about that, because if you look at the statistics, I mean, how many people, how many veterans that have gone and served for this country, and all of them, if them and their families come back, they don't have jobs to go to, and they're collecting government benefits like food stamps and temporary cash assistance. So, no, you can't even, you know, you can't go off on people like that. That's ridiculous.
Right, and I want to remind everybody, we don't have welfare anymore. Welfare had stopped in 1995. Bill Clinton got rid of welfare. So even saying that is still just a stereotype. You can get assistance for all sorts of programs, but welfare as we know it is gone. So that's an old Good Times reference. So he did a very bad stereotype because it's been gone since 95.
Hashtag
all right, one
time.
More. Yeah.
Damn.
Don't make me. See, I should have put that on the board. Well, and one says, now here's not a nice comment. It says, go to H-E double hockey sticks, fat boy. I had to put the negative in there. And it said, I will never go and watch any of your films and give a damn who you cast in it as long or how long did you stay on the DL. Now, that was just mean. But he was another comment that he made about the black community is he said, homophobia is so rampant, that's why black people or black gay people aren't on the DL. That's what they were making their comment about. They just weren't calling him gay. He made a comment that gay people are not respected because they have to hide out.
Oh, you know, can I tell you, I just got to say it. I'm so sick. I'm so sick and tired of black people looking at, you know, you got some intolerance in every single group, but don't look at your own group and just point it out like we're the ones. You would think that based on some of the things that other black people said, that we are the most hateful, most discriminating, most racist group that's on this planet. You would think that from listening to people from our own saying that.
Yes.
And it's crazy.
Yes. And you see why I fight it so much? Because even in doing other shows, that disturbs me to even hear it so much. It's like, why do you hate yourself that much? I don't understand it. And I'm like, stop teaching little kids that. You're teaching them to hate themselves because you hate yourself.
Oh, who was it
right?
That did
so,
that? Was it Miguel? Miguel did that, didn't he?
Miguel did that.
He came out on Twitter. We talked about it on the show where he came out on Twitter. And
yeah.
He was, I guess people were getting on him about his style of music or his whatever. I don't know what it was, but of course he went off and was like, black people are always so judgmental. It was like, yeah, see how judgmental everybody is when you leg clip somebody in the audience doing a long jump and tight skinny pants.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, that's not being racist if we talk about your skinny pants.
Okay.
I was going to say, no, it depends how you take it. It depends how you take it, but that is the point. Like, we, again, created black-on-black crime because the hyper-criticism of black people is crazy. And you know what it shows? I think it just kind of shows mental illness. Like, I think it's kind of post-traumatic. When you can hate yourself but can't see the flaw in anybody else, that's a problem. Right, you don't see nobody else with problems, but you want to highlight your problems like they're the only ones that have them in the world.
That too, and I also think it comes from a place of wanting to make other people feel comfortable. Like, for some reason,
yeah.
These people don't want other people to think that you know, it's like we don't know what our flaws are. It's like, oh, no, it's okay. We know what our flaws are. We know, you know, we know about black on black crime. We know what we got wrong. But we're going to talk about this so that you don't have to feel uncomfortable. And
right.
That just makes absolutely no sense, because you don't see people of other cultures and other backgrounds apologizing for, you know, the few or the many in their group in order to make other people feel better, unless you call them on it. And even then, you got a whole group of them that's willing to double down and be like, oh, no, we're not. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, no, we don't do that. But y'all do. So it's just,
right.
I don't know, it's just crazy that we're just so willing to do that in order to appease other people.
Well, you know, it's a part of wanting to seem like you're the savior. There was an article out that said white folks don't need saving. And it was an article just talking about the fact that there are some people who feel some kind of way if you mention white folks as a group, right? And nobody means that in a racist way. They mean it as a system, like a systemic problem. So when you talk about how a system works, we can only take it from a European system because we're minorities. And what happens is that people won't use their critical thinking skills. They'll just say, oh, here we go, always blaming white folks. It's like nobody's blaming them. We're just saying that the policies are not conducive to helping anybody else but the majority. But people can't hear that sometimes. They just want to defend it. And so that is the problem. So when you see people like Lee Daniels make these comments, you wonder, where is all of this coming from? And a lot of it is coming from self-hate. I mean, Oprah kind of did the same thing. I didn't mention Oprah, but Oprah said when she was filming the Butler, there was so much drinking and cussing that she thought she was in a rap video. She said that in an interview. And as much as she says she don't have any friends that use the N-word and she would never befriend anybody, she gets to be bougie on one hand, and then she gets to bash black people on the other.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we should be clear, too, that we're not saying that we don't have these conversations and we're just not, you know, that we can't. I think it's who you have these conversations with. And
oh, yeah.
Unfortunately,
no doubt.
You do kind of have to be mindful of what you're saying around certain people. Not saying that people can't figure out things. It's just that, like you said, some people, like you got white people who understand, oh, yeah, I know you're not talking about me. You do have white people that understand that. But then there are some who don't realize that, okay, we're not talking about white people as a whole. And that, because we're used to having that conversation with each other.
Right.
If we say that's
right.
How white folks do, it's not that we mean that all white folks do that. It's just
exactly.
That we're saying, you know, that's the conversation that we have with each other. And then to get out in public, you can't have that same kind of.
Yeah, the one thing about that is I just want to say that even with that being said, we have like this thing that we feel like we have to explain it. Like we have to kind of say it in a way that is going to make everybody else feel comfortable. And so nobody is taking credit, taking blame for racism or anything like that. But if you have not been around enough black folks to see that they're not talking about you, you probably need to chop out of their conversation and stop minding your own business. It's kind of how I see that. But anyway, I want to say thank you, Lavinia, for dropping in and hanging out on Black Crime on our anniversary show. Commissioner Kathleen as well. I know we heard comments from Finesse, from Kai. We didn't hear any from Daniel, now that I think about it. But we'll have those on some other clips, on some other shows. But while we're doing our anniversary wrap-up, we'll still kind of add some more clips into our next show of some past shows. But just remember, you can check out Black on Black Crime if you go to soulofsyracuse.com/EspriRadio/BOBC. That's Black on Black Crime. And you can check us out on Facebook. Hey, we have a Facebook page, BOBC Show. That's on Facebook if you want to check it out. Join it and like it. I'll see you again next week with more Black on Black Crime. We'll talk about that Harriet Tubman, Russell Simmons thing later. But in the meantime, you know, we'll just kind of ride this one out. All right, thanks again for joining us, and thanks for all the support for the whole year. It has been a pleasure. We'll be back next week with more Black on Black Crime. Be sure to join us.